Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup.
You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work.
Welcome back.
Gonna go to jail.
All right. I can't put my finger on the exact moment that Walter Williams said what he said, but man, he articulated it well. So we'll move on. Maybe I'll come back to that. But we should all be able to say exactly what he said. So, articles. The year 2022, looking, well, actually let's do announcements real quick. We'll be closed. RBN will be closed for business this coming Sunday and Monday, January 1st and 2nd in observance of New Year's Eve, New Year's celebration type stuff. We are having a book drive, John Stadmiller book drive, now through January 8th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. Winners announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins, 8 p.m. Central, except when we're away for Christmas or New Year's. What is today's book and who is last week's winner? Well, we will know later this evening, I'm told. So stay tuned for that. And merry belated Christmas. 5 days until New Year's. 5 days until the new year. I don't feel ready. I don't know about you, but, you know, because of the PTSD or whatever over the last couple of years, I feel like we're all sort of living in a time warp. And guys like Bill Gates are having fun with that. So anyway, speaking of that, I mentioned a few headlines. We'll crash through those real fast and finish that up and move on. The year 2022. Look, these are headlines you can find on RBN. Right now, republicbroadcasting.org. Some of today's headlines. The year 2022, looking back, looking ahead, which I said in the first hour, reminds me of Fabian Socialist Edward Bellamy's, some would say heavily plagiarized, I would say maybe automatic writing, utopian propaganda work. Looking backward, 2000 to 1887, it's remarkable what world is materializing that seems to coincide with this utopian science fiction novel that has largely become science fact, that was published back in 1888. So Stephen Yates, in his article, The Year 2022, Looking Back, Looking Ahead, I mentioned some of the things that he talked about, some of the expectations for the new year. So continuing, expect political polarization, mass shootings, expect the culture war to continue, absolutely. That's the clash of civilizations. That's the front. Those are the front lines. Can you imagine if people understood, I mentioned, for example, the biblical example of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, even though God says sin is sin, the example of Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned dozens of times in the Bible. And I think there is an obvious, the issues surrounding homosexuality are sort of self-evident, I would say, but it's the example that you see in Sodom and Gomorrah that is particularly informative, that, you know, if you can, you know, you see the story in Genesis 19. I mentioned this, you know, if you can harden people to the extent that you see in Genesis 19, then what can't you, you know, you can, you should, you know, I will just say this. I think, you know, I mean, we went through some stuff that, you know, people would probably call religious in nature over the last couple few weeks, and maybe I'll get back to that. But if you read the first few chapters of Genesis, there's all kinds of stuff happening there. You know, Genesis 3 is the episode of original sin. You know, obviously you have creation, and that can't be understated. First two chapters are interesting, but Genesis 3 is the original sin, and by the sixth chapter, you have, you know, Genesis 6:5, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's quite a statement. And then, of course, the flood, and then Genesis chapter 9, and, you know, kind of the reset button after the flood. And, you know, some interesting names mentioned in Genesis 10. And then Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel, and what I would call the beginnings of the fraternal orders and stonemasonry in particular. And so, you know, you have Genesis 6, Genesis 11. These are big moments. And then, you know, by the 19th chapter, you have Sodom and Gomorrah, which is mentioned previously, you know, before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Interesting stuff. There's a lot happening, but in chapter 19, you know, when you see these guys, the angels show up. Lot is entertaining angels as house guests. And verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 19 say, but before they lay down, this is the King James, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And, you know, verse 6 and 7 say, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And, you know, there's more obviously, but I mean, that's some hubris. They called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And I'm going to presume that I don't need to explain the King James here. So that's some hubris. And we are seeing this demonstrated through our media, the megaphone that informs culture and so on, that is shouting at people in a similar fashion. And we've heard for years, you know, it wouldn't get to this, but here it is. And it's not, this is not a stopping point. It's going to get worse. You know, speaking of the articles, some of the articles that, you know, and so the point of mentioning Genesis 19 is if you can, what happens in the episode of Genesis or in the Sodom and Gomorrah episode? How does that end? And why is it used as a reminder repeatedly throughout the Bible? Dozens and dozens of reminders. And I believe one of the big reasons is because of the hubris that's demonstrated, because of a hardening of the heart. You know, you see the consequences of that in places like Romans chapter 1, how that process works, the calcification. And, you know, one of the big dangers people talk about, you know, as your heart becomes hardened, you become, you know, more calcified and sclerotic and less aware of the hardening. Seems normal. And so you're desensitized to sin. And if you want to do that, you're the devil and you want to do that so that you can get people to destroy themselves and one another, this is a great way to do it. Get them to buy into this kind of mindset and be tolerant of this thing. You know, kind of like the abortion thing. I think it goes beyond eugenics into child sacrifice, but also into a psychological hardening of people in a way people don't realize. Kind of like, you know, the promiscuity is you know, particularly harmful to young ladies and makes them, studies show that, you know, promiscuity at early ages usually makes ladies very cynical, generally speaking. So if you want a society of cynical ladies that don't trust men, what better way than to encourage promiscuity as early as possible? Imagine that. So, you know, we have to start paying attention to these things that are happening not by accident, but entirely as planned to pit us against ourselves and one another. And, you know, if we could do that, who knows? Maybe, you know, the late, great Jack Otto, when he said America was only the land of the free as long as it was the home of the brave, you know, maybe it could be true again, if it ever was. So, you know, evidence of this and where it's at, where it's headed, more headlines. Stanford says American, this is over at republicbroadcasting.org. Stanford says American is a forbidden word from the Daily Caller, actually. Stanford University IT released an index of harmful language. And this is just, you know, this is just the same kind of cultural warfare. Speaking of, you know, the conversion of language or the subversion of it in Toynbee sort of fashion that I've mentioned in the past. That's an example. How about this headline from Christmas Eve? War on Christmas propaganda roundup, the transing of the Santa Claus. So, you know, trans Santa Levi trains for the job at Santa Camp. HBO produces documentary in celebration. From The Guardian, Santa Camp follows the journey of three unconventional Santas in their quest to provide better representation in the red suit. Levi is one of them, who appears alongside his partner Heidi, a Dr. Claus version of Mrs. Claus. We have no interest in being professional Clauses for pay, Heidi says. We only do volunteer events for LGBTQ+ youth in partnership with established community-based organizations. And so you thought the discussion that we were having, you know, about this stuff was bad before Christmas. This is what's been going on. And so from the article, continuing this article, take notice that whenever the LGBTQ++ trademark movement hijacks, you know, and this is a thing that is introduced. This is not a grassroots thing. This is a thing that people associate with and attach themselves to. It's a honeypot in a sense, but it's a divide, a political divide, to divide us up further and pit us against ourselves and one another. So this movement hijacks a Western holiday and perverts its symbols to serve its own interests. Everything immediately becomes all about transgenderism all the time. Well, I kind of sifted through the cognitive dissonance of Christmas. Every year, it's challenging to tackle that up front. And I think, I hope we did that. I hope I did it in the movies. I tried to. Going through that this year, the movie list was, if you're going to watch stuff, and I'm not too serious about it, which is why it's not somewhere and, it's not too serious of a thing. But, for example, around the anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, obviously there was a slew of movies that coincide in a particular way that maybe we would have grace and mercy with the World War One Christmas truce kind of as a backdrop in mind. So, Joyeux Noël was December 6, December 7, The Sound of Music, December 8, Silent Night, December 9, Casablanca, December 10, White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas, December 11, It's a Wonderful Life. Those are all, they all have the war theme somewhere in the background. But with hopefully the idea of grace and mercy abounding as well. So, here is this article, War on Christmas Propaganda Roundup, the transing of the Santa Claus, is evidence of the culture war and the pitting against and colliding, people against each other, playing people off against each other. More headlines and more evidence, just to sort of round this out. Omnibus shows Congress's priorities, authoritarianism, and war. By Ron Paul over at the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity via Zero Hedge. And, so this is the messaging that we're receiving. Basically, we're at war. And so we've heard it on this network for years and years. Obviously, America, your government has been weaponized against you. I mentioned that. Wish I remember the host who said it, but he said it very well. I don't know if he deserves first credit, but as far as I'm aware, he does. Whoever he was that said it. From the article, the public recently learned what the FBI considers an appropriate way to fight extremism, quote unquote, with the release of emails between Twitter officials and the FBI. These memos show the Bureau was working with Twitter and almost certainly other social media companies. I don't understand why this is even a conversation. These platforms are obviously the handmaiden of, if the NFL is getting money from the military, and if Operation Earnest Voice and sock puppets and things are any indication, and the whole cottage industry that has arisen, because of the so-called defense industry needing to spy on its own people. I don't even understand why things like this are a conversation. Why we don't know. Speaking of honeypots and color revolution, stick around, we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. Let's see. So, maybe we can squeeze a clip of Walter Williams in this segment. There's probably time. If I hurry. Multitasking is bad for radio. Walter Williams, why the founders did not want a democracy. Again, if we understood these talking points, but, you know, again, if we really start to dive down the rabbit hole and start talking about what is truth, again, the question that Pilate asked Jesus, I would say rhetorically, sort of mused, it seems, what is truth? It has profound implications. You know, and this gets back to John MacArthur's list that we talked about. You know, I started playing that clip on Friday the 16th, December 16th, and you know, we dove down the John MacArthur rabbit hole a little bit, but I don't hear anyone rebutting the list. I understand the issues. But then again, as I have investigated, I'm not so completely convinced. And so, you know, I wonder how much of the effort to discredit John MacArthur really has to do with discrediting the message as much or more than the messenger. Because that's what ends up happening. I dare say no one disputed the list. I didn't hear anyone say, you know, when John MacArthur said, these are the major lies that predominate our society. You know, he talked about the guy in the red suit. Chuck Missler talked about the guy in the red suit. These are guys that are advanced in years that have thought about this for a while from a Christian perspective, shall we say. Yes, I'm going to include John MacArthur for the sake of context. I understand the controversy notwithstanding. I'm not denying or ignoring that or setting it aside. I'm just saying for the sake of context, you have people who have thought about this, who make their views known publicly. You know, and that from a particularly biblical perspective, again, the controversy notwithstanding, and have said, you know, I'm not so concerned about this red suit guy, even though there's a whole pagan background that comes in tow, possibly, not to mention the lying to kids and things that, you know, folks like Mike mentioned. I think it was Mike. Who was it? Getting callers mixed up now. But no one took issue with the list. The eight lies that he mentioned that predominate our society. Life is random. Truth is relative. Man is basically good. The highest virtue is tolerance, we're told these days. Life really consists in what you possess, acquire, own, achieve. The goal of life is personal satisfaction in this, you know, Epicurean delight of a society. The Bernaysian, you know, it used to be, I mean, read Vance Packard's anything, but read Vance Packard's Hidden Persuaders. It's amazing. It's astonishing. Carl P. Reiter's I Can Sell You Anything. I mentioned that from time to time. Books like it. Amazing. You know, thinking about the Bernaysian focus group experiment with cake mix and how ladies were surveyed and asked, why don't you like the cake mix? It's dehydrated. Everything goes into it. It's dehydrated. You add water. Ladies felt guilty back in those days. And so they took the egg out and said, look, if you crack an egg, is that enough to assuage your troubled conscience? And the lady said, yeah, that's probably enough. That's why the egg is not dehydrated in the cake mix to this day. The ways that we have been controlled and manipulated and herded. Astonishing. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. Okay. So, I think it's interesting just to sort of finish this thought. How, you know, do we realize there's a sort of bandwagon, you know, John MacArthur. Yeah, I understand. But what about the list? No one even mentioned the list. And I said that was the emphasis, you know, that I was focused on. Those lies that we, you know, you have to admit the influence at some point. Like I said, you know, about the Bernaysian depth research focus group. You know, and this goes way beyond cake mix, obviously. To, you know, I mean, I would say it goes right back to Genesis chapter 3 and the first deception. Yea, hath God said, you know, you have in the garden the story in Genesis 3. I mean, the way it starts out in the King James, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Of course, that's not what God said. He knows that. He's pinging to see what kind of signal he'll get back. And the woman said unto the serpent, why is she even talking to the serpent, by the way? Why is she engaging? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Ah, so he knows that she doesn't know. That's a misrepresentation. She is in error, and therefore, you know, she's not absolutely certain. She has her own doubts. She doesn't know with certainty, and therefore the serpent offers a convincing deception. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ooh, that sounds exciting, alluring, seductive, attractive, exciting. And so, off we go. It was, I mean, there in paradise, if you read the opening account in Genesis, this is paradise. And if it worked well enough to deceive both woman and man in paradise when they walked with God, then how much more so in this fallen world we now live in? Anyway, I think the Bernaysian depth research focus group kind of stuff goes far beyond cake mix to things like this, to things like The Chosen. And what Daryl Evans calls the YouTube formula, targeting ladies 25 to 45 years old. And not surprisingly, anyone you talk to that has actually watched The Chosen, they will tell you, oh my goodness, ladies 25 to 45 seem to love it. Imagine that. So I think there are forces much bigger at work, and we have to acknowledge the influence because, you know, and the implications of it. You know, to the point that Aaron Siri made in the High Wire episode 298 about how influencing culture has repercussions. And he mentioned, you know, again, 1800s, 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And then all of a sudden, now we're seeing things shift in a way that, for example, Alan Watt reminded us. It used to take a generation, like 20, 25 years. Now, when he, the last time I heard him mention it, which was a decade ago or more, perhaps 10, 15 years ago, says it's down to like, yeah, I don't know, 6 to 8 years, about 7 years. So a third of a generation. And that time is being compressed more and more all the time. You know, I just don't understand how these things are a conversation. Or, you know, perhaps the better way to put it is not a conversation. You know, how is vaccines discussion at all, let alone the mRNA technology. I just don't comprehend how that's even a possibility. I mean, if you can be told, it's just astonishing. No, it's fine. It's safe. It's okay. Look, I'm doing it. Sure you are. Wink, wink. It's absolutely astonishing. So speaking of that, the Walter E. Williams thing, I want to play that clip in a second, but you know, speaking of context, let's give that some context. Where is the article that I was thinking of? Oh, the Ron Paul article, and you know, with it the RBN headline also goes, today's headline, "What Will the FBI Not Do?" authored by Victor Davis Hanson. Again, via Zero Hedge. The FBI Wednesday finally broke its silence and responded to the revelations on Twitter of close ties between the Bureau and the social media giant. I think close ties is disingenuous. Again, you know, I think these platforms are made for the Saul Alinsky, Gene Sharp, color revolutionary types. Just like, you know, match made in hell kind of stuff. Anyway, from Ron Paul's article, Omnibus shows Congress's priorities, authoritarianism, and war. Even the great Ron Paul, this is what he writes. The public recently learned what the FBI considers an appropriate way to fight extremism, etc., etc. Next paragraph. This is hardly the first time the FBI has violated the constitutional rights of American citizens. Come on now. Ron Paul knows better than that. Constitutional rights? No. I know he knows the difference, but most people don't. And so we shouldn't use lazy language like that. I'm not particularly a Jordan Peterson fan, but I think precision in language is, you know, the devil is in the details. Literally, that's why he can quote Psalm 91 to Jesus himself in Matthew 4 in the wilderness. And then in John chapter 8, Jesus says he's a liar and the father of lies and there's no truth in him. How can you say that when he quoted Psalm 91? Because he misappropriated context. And so precision in language is important. Sometimes you don't even have to, it reminds me of the joke, you know, the pastor didn't show up to church drunk this Sunday. Well, does he usually? Well, I'm not saying he does, but, you know, he didn't this Sunday. It plants a thought in your mind. Anyway, precision of language, you shouldn't use lazy language, especially when something this important is in view and there is a lack of general understanding. We don't all agree on terms. Most people don't understand the terms. So Ron Paul writes, this is hardly the first time the FBI has violated the constitutional rights of American citizens. And then he goes through the laundry list of COINTELPRO type stuff. Not through the laundry list, but he, you know, in fact, since its founding, the Bureau has targeted political activists and leaders such as Martin Luther King, whose agenda was considered extreme or dangerous by the Bureau's corrupt leadership, even though, you know, he was essentially recruited for a time, like Malcolm X and others, considered useful and controllable. As long as you're controllable and useful, you'll hang around. Federal government has no constitutional authority over criminal law except – okay, so with that in mind, that context, let's listen to what Walter Williams says. And it's a couple minutes. It's like 2 or 3 minutes of this clip, you know, why Walter Williams, why the founders did not want a democracy. We're going to do like 2 minutes to somewhere around 5 minutes, I think. So about 3 minutes. Give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Rigorously live up to his oath of office to uphold and defend the United States Constitution, he just would not get elected to office by the American people, because what politicians reflect, they reflect the values and views of the American people, that is, those who will elect them to office. Now, some people might say, well, gee, Williams, that's a little bit strong. Well, look, we just might ask ourselves, what would happen to a politician who had the vision of, let's say, James Madison, the acknowledged father of the United States Constitution? And in 1794, Congress appropriated $15,000 to help some French refugees. And James Madison stood on the floor of the House irate, and he said, and I'm virtually quoting him, he says, I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article in the Constitution that authorizes Congress to spend the money of their constituents for the purposes of benevolence. Now, if you look at the federal budget, two-thirds to three-quarters of it is for the purposes of benevolence. Now, just ask yourself, what would the American people do to a politician or to anybody running for office who would make a statement like Madison did, or make another statement? Madison said, also said, he said that charity is not a legitimate function of government. Now, can you imagine what the American people would do to a politician who said that? And so what I'm saying is that politicians are reflecting the values and views of the people who elect them to office. And unfortunately, the values and views of most Americans are distinct from those of the founders of our nation.
So, Walter Williams, has the Tea Party movement been a positive in your view in American politics?
Pause. Okay. So there is what I mentioned earlier, speaking of the influence through culture of public opinion. You know, it's interesting, again, how the influence works. You watch some of these old shows, This Old House, The New Yankee Workshop, that kind of stuff. And what we used to have in trades, you know, and this also in technology, there's a concept that what's his name? The principle of least power, which gets to, you know, that whole law of attraction, least resistance nonsense. You remember the clip that we played? This idea of, you know, law of attraction, least resistance stuff. Tim Berners-Lee wrote about the principle of least power. All of the theosophists, the Luciferian Satanists, agree, you know, this is a great thing. And so Atwood's law says that, you know, in a technological sense, any application that can be written in JavaScript will eventually be written in JavaScript. You know, least path of least resistance kind of stuff. So you think about the influence of we used to have trades. You know, fathers were tradesmen. They taught their sons a trade in many cases. Sons, you know, wanted to grow up like dad. And trades were passed on from father to son. And then, you know, we started to get busy. We started to get the administrative society, the scientific dictatorship, you know, as guys like John T. Flynn warned us and told us was happening, this transition that was so dramatic that within 10 years, we had completely forgotten what happened, what was going on 10 years before. And wow, complete amnesia, basically. The Roosevelt myth and things like that. So we go from trades being passed on from father to son to shop class and home ec. And hey, that's great, you know. And now mom's probably busy, and maybe she's going to work too, and so mom and dad are both busy all the time. And you know what, that's okay. School will teach the kids everything they need to know. And maybe we can switch genders. Maybe you know, Sally can take shop class and Johnny can take home ec. It'll be fun. And so we can start to move people along a cultural continuum, a dialectical continuum, because, I mean, where is mom? Where is dad? Where's the family? And then, you know, that has profound implications downstream, obviously. You know, once you get a generation or two or three now downstream from there, it's interesting how weak the links in our social structure become. You know, and again, how sclerotic certain propaganda talking points become. We'll finish the Walter Williams clip when we come back. Final segment coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And I've got a special announcement. Red Pill Politics, Republic of Texas Radio, and Republic Broadcasting have put together a live broadcast day on January 1st, 2023, all day long.
All right, on New Year's Day. I don't want you to get too hammered on New Year's Eve, because I want you to be able to get up as bright-eyed, bushy-tailed as you can, because we're going to have a very special broadcast on New Year's Day. We haven't got all of the arrangements and all the special guest interviews and all the fun quite packaged together yet, but we're well on our way. You're going to hear some great hosts here at RBN. You're going to hear some great interviews, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be fun.
After New Year's Eve, tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right, so we got a little bit of context as far as cultural influence, you know, and public opinion is concerned. Now, what does Walter Williams say specifically about how the Constitution was written and what has happened, I would say, as a result of the influence of public opinion and, you know, again, the tyrant's majority in democracy, which is defined in a particular way. It's not 51%, as people mistakenly believe. It's what Hayek talked about in The Road to Serfdom and what he articulated very clearly. But first, Walter Williams on, you know, constitutional authority is what I would call it. Go ahead, please.
The founders of our nation.
So, Walter Williams, has the Tea Party movement been a positive, in your view, in American politics?
Well, I think so. It has been it's been a movement, or it's been a group of people who are saying, well, look, let's go back to the Constitution. Let's have constitutional principles. But whether they'll be successful or not is another matter. And keep in mind that, you know, if you look at the founders of our nation, they wanted very, very limited government. If you read Madison's in Federalist Paper, I think it's 45 or 48, and when he was trying to describe to the citizens of New York what was in the Constitution to kind of get the citizens of New York to ratify the Constitution, he said that the powers that we delegated to the federal government are few and well-defined and restricted mostly to external affairs. Those left with the people and the states are indefinite and numerous. Now, if you turn that upside down, you'd have what we have today. That is, the powers of the federal government are indefinite and numerous, and those of the people and the state are limited and well-defined.
And how many people could articulate...
In your book, Liberty versus a Tyranny of...
How many people could articulate that clearly in America? Everyone should be able to. And speaking of this, you know, path of least resistance stuff, remember the clip that we played? It was back in September, September 20th and 21st, I talked about it. The path of least resistance, the Abraham Hicks stuff, you know, if you, and I said when we played it, I could imagine this being played in churches across America, which tells you much. And I don't think most Christians would dispute it. This gets back to the question, who's in charge? Who decides? If you make a decision that you really want to feel good and you will deliberately, consciously, often choose the thought that feels the best of those that feel available to you, and you will discover that by taking this path of least resistance or this path of most allowance, what a bunch of nonsense. My goodness. Anyway, we got to stop taking that path. We got to choose right. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.